All right, turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Doing it God's way, or ministry God's way, is the title. Luke chapter 5. And in verse 1. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says this: "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Let's pray. Lord, we need you here this morning. I believe you've been here in our singing and our worship and our fellowship. Now we need you to really bring this message to our hearts, Lord. This is the word of God. This is your truth. And I pray, Lord, that you would just hide me behind the cross and just speak to the people. The Holy Spirit must do his perfect work in our hearts, Lord. So I ask you, please, to speak to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so a little fishing trip here. There's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it. And there's a right way to do God's work, and there's a wrong way to do God's work. I mean, it's just as clear to us, or it should be, that our goal should be just to obey God. You know, we've all questioned God at times, at one time or another. Like, why is this happening? Or why do I have to do it this way? Or this is impossible, like Peter thought. We toiled all night. And doesn't God understand? Doesn't he see that we are fishermen? We know what we're doing. And I just want to say that when God speaks to us, we just need to obey. That's about as simple as I can put it. When the Bible says to do something, just do it. God's way. You don't have to analyze it. You don't have to try to figure it out. Not that we're robots, but we ought to just immediately obey. The same way a child should just say, Yes, Dad. Yes, Mom. And not try to talk it over with them. Because Peter told the Lord something I think he already knew. I know you've toiled all night. Now, the Lord didn't tell him that, but I think the Lord knew that. And that's why he was telling, just do what I tell you to do, Peter. Let down your nets for a draught. And this can happen to us in the ministry, or even in our own personal lives. Every decision that we make, and financial decisions and decisions in the home, we can begin to question God. And even in our own ministries. Well, you know, that's where we get this idea, the thought that we must try some new ways. Because we perceive some things as failures in our ministry. Well, let me just say that we need to be careful not to use man's wisdom to do God's work. We do God's work, God's way, by God's book. And so there's a theme out there in the world called the seeker-sensitive church. And what they do is they go around and they ask people at the door, what would you like about church? What can we do to make church interesting for you? And most people, you know, we've got to jazz up the music. You know what I mean? The preaching's too long. You know, more fellowship time. It's like, wait a minute. What does the Bible say about church? We don't go out and, it shouldn't be a seeker-sensitive church. We should be a Savior-sensitive church. We ought to be wondering what God has said and God's way of doing things in our ministry and even in our own private lives. Too often, we're making decisions without the Lord. What we perceive as failure sometimes is the numbers aren't like the church down the street. Or my ministry doesn't seem to be growing as fast as I would like it to. And then all of a sudden you get a blessing like this, right? Why? Because you just keep plugging along God's way. You just keep doing what God's told you to do. You're not going to answer for the numbers unless, of course, we're doing something that's unbiblical or you're not serving in your ministry the way you should. But if you're doing everything that God's told you to do, just keep serving God. And let God bring the numbers up if He wants to. Nobody seems to be listening. You know, that's another thing that we can say in churches today. Nobody seems to be listening to what the preacher is saying, what God is saying. And sometimes others say, this is unnecessary. Why do we have to do it this way? This is boring. This isn't entertaining. This isn't fun. It's church. It's not supposed to be fun. We're supposed to be worshiping Jesus Christ. Amen. Churches have gotten to the point where it has to be fun. Youth groups have to be constantly all fun. You want entertainment? Turn the television on. Go to a soccer match. Go to the cinema. But when you come to church, we come to worship Jesus Christ. Amen. And when we do our ministry, we're doing it because we're doing it for Him and for the salvation of souls and people who are lost out there in that world. We just need to turn this thing on its head and say, wait a minute, this is the ministry. This is church. This isn't a stadium. Nobody's here to entertain each other. We've kind of got the idea that church has to be fun. We have fun. But the focus has to be on the Word of God, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't adopt worldly plans and schemes to get people into church. If you don't like the preaching and God-honoring hymns and Spirit-led worship, then you're probably worldly and you're probably carnal. That's just as simple as that. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Believe me, this message gets really good. I mean, it'll be really good. I just want to get this out of my system, if that's okay. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And in verse 1, David had just defeated the Philistines. It's time to bring the ark back into Jerusalem. And in verse 1 it says again, David, 2 Samuel 6:1, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord in all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on the harps and on the psalteries and on the timbrels and on the cornets and on the cymbals. It was a great time. And when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, and the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. David was displeased with the Lord. What did he do wrong? He touched the ark of God, that's what. He wasn't supposed to touch it. And Numbers chapter 4 will show you that. That was to be prepared by the priest and carried by the priest and the sons of Kohath. Not be touching it and putting it on a new cart. He said they were just trying to get the cart back. They had the right idea, but they did it the wrong way. The right idea is let's get people in here. But let's not do it the wrong way. Let's do our ministries the right way. Just keep doing it God's way. So I don't have to answer to God. I try to do something wonderful for you, but I did it in my own way. With worldly plans and schemes. Sorry, God's not going to bless that. We may fill this place up if we jazz up the music. We may fill this place up, but how many people are getting saved? I want real salvations. I want to see people come in here because they want to worship God. And if the pastor's gone, they still come because they want to worship God. Because God has the preeminence in the church. We don't adopt worldly plans and schemes. As I said, if you're not moved by preaching, forget about the pastor or me or any other preacher. Tonight, Tony's preaching, whoever's preaching, it's the Word of God. We're just vessels. We're just human vessels, but hopefully the truths of what we're talking about should reach down into our heart. Where is our heart today? Where is your heart this morning for the Lord? We need to be very careful not to change for the sake of change, but just to do things God's way. Okay? Introduction. Now, preaching is primary. Go back to Luke chapter 5. Mark it with one of your little ribbons or put some kind of way of marking, because we're going to keep coming back to Luke chapter 5. Let me just say, the first thing, preaching is primary. Preaching is the primary focus of the church, is to preach the Word of God. Look what it says in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Spiritually hungry people and thirsty people will want to get fed and want to get a good drink of the Word of God. They'll come here for the preaching. And that's why you should be here this morning. The fellowship is fine, to worship the Lord and to edify each other and encourage each other. But then it comes time to open this book and preach the truths of God. And hopefully go away with something that the preacher has said that God has spoken our heart about that changes us. Pressed upon them. He pressed upon him. They pressed upon him to hear the Word of God. They wanted to hear the preaching of the Word of God. They pressed upon him. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We are in the Laodicean age. We are in the age where the people rule. And the pastor is supposed to step back and go, how can I help you? What can I do? Instead of preaching the Word of God, and the primary focus of the pastor is to feed and protect. Feed and protect the flock. Not just be concerned of every whim of the people. That's the Laodicean age that we're in. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says, preach the word. This is what Paul's telling Timothy. In fact, he says in verse 1, I charge thee. This is a charge, young Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, but exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. There's going to be times of reproving and rebuke, but we do it with longsuffering and with the word of God. That's what Timothy was encouraged to do. Why, Timothy? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That is the church today. Don't tell us what we're doing wrong. Don't mention a burning hell. Don't mention my sin. And many times it's because the preacher's got sin in his own life and he can't say a word about it. What happened in the church today? They can't endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they heap up teachers because they have itchy ears. Tell me what I want to hear or I'm out of here. Don't give me anything hard. Don't tell me about my sin. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The moment this book is shut and somebody gets up here and preaches a little sermonette for 20 minutes, it's over. Preaching is primary. The Word of God is primary. Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, look what it says. I forgot about this. You remember this guy? Billy Sunday, you ever heard of him? Whew! He would have been standing on the pews. I'll tell you. But that's the problem. See, we're not pointing the fingers anymore and saying, we need to get right with God. You need to get right with God. You need to repent and call on sin, sin. Because that's what needs to happen. In Mark chapter 1 and in verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Mark 1:14, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Preaching, you see. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, ye, and believe the gospel. Repent. Turn away from your sin. Turn away from your way. There's only one gospel. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he said, repent. Jesus said, repent. Turn from your sin. See yourself the way God sees you. Lost and undone. Look at Luke. Go back to our text there. Luke chapter 4 and in verse 40. Luke chapter 4 and in verse 40. Right before we get to chapter 5 and the fishing trip, we get Luke chapter 4 and 40. It says, now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. What was his primary focus? Preaching. Preaching. And it's the same thing today. The focus of the ministry right here is God's word and the preaching of it. That's what changed your life, was the preaching of the truth. Someone shared the gospel. That's why we're sitting here today, because of preaching of the word of God. And that's the pastor's primary role. It doesn't matter whether you're in RU or whether you're in the youth camp or the Sunday school or the Bible clubs or the picnic. We're going to have preaching at the picnic. Or you're in the creche. Preach to them little kids. They need to hear about Jesus. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, Paul says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. We don't change it. If it doesn't sound good, if it doesn't sound good to our ears, we don't change it to make it palatable for you. We don't put a little sugar in it. We need it straight, because that's what changes us. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching. Some man just preaching the truths of God is the power of God that he uses. Verse 21 says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching is the primary focus in the ministry. If we're going to do it God's way, preaching has to be the first. You know why? There's a great need. Every man and every boy in here, every young person in here should be saying, Lord, do you want me to preach? I didn't get called till I was 48 years old. Okay? So don't say, well, I'm too old. I have a family. So did I. I'm just saying that if the Lord can do something with me, he can do something with you. If he has a call on your life. But would it be wrong to say, Lord, do you want me? Do you want me to preach? Because if you do, I'm willing to go ahead and do it. You see? Turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. You know why? Because there's a great need. There's a great need in the world today for men to stand up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but my brother is dying and going to hell over there in New Mexico. And you have family members that you know are going to die and go to hell if they don't hear. Make us preachers. John chapter 11 and verse 21. You remember Lazarus got sick and now he's died and Jesus was on his way but seemed to take his own time getting there for a good reason. And verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. Listen. Verse 25 says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Fine, we can believe that. Lazarus will live. Those who were saved will live again in heaven. Verse 26 says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I'm not going to die. This old clay tenement might, but I can't die. And neither can you if you're saved. Do you believe that? If you believe that, she said, yea, Lord, I believe that. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. My friend, if you're not saved here today, you have to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who died on Calvary for your sins, not just the sins of the world, for your sins. Sin is a disease unto death, but God has the cure, doesn't he? God has the cure. Preparation is vital. Turn back to Luke chapter 5. If we're going to do it God's way, if we're going to go fishing God's way, if we're going to do the ministry God's way, preaching is what people need. That's the primary focus. But preparation is vital. Verse 2, it says, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. You know, everything takes planning. Nothing just happens. People are here and setting up or in your ministry or in Sunday school. It takes a lot of planning. It just doesn't happen. You know, there used to be a show on TV. What was her name? The lady with the Bewitched? Yeah, she could just blink her nose and the house was clean. And, you know, I mean, Ruth, I'm sure she's trying to do that. She's been trying to get her nose to twitch. And John's on his way home. I got to make dinner. And, you know, you're trying to get your nose to twitch. No, it doesn't work like that. You're going to have to boil the water, put the rice in it, cook it. And that's all I can do, by the way, is boil rice. But it's going to take some time. You're going to have to, you know, you need to clean your nets. An illustration is a real fishing boat. A real fishing boat better clean the nets. You better take time to wash the nets. You may not be in the boat at the time fishing. Why? Because you're preparing. The nets have got to be clean because if they aren't, they're going to smell up the boat. The boat's going to stink. With old pieces of fish and algae and all everything else, it starts to rot. And you know, we've got to be careful in our ministries that our ministry doesn't stink because we haven't prepared and washed it out a few times. And bad attitudes come in there. And sinful actions in our own lives and our ministry starts to stink like an old fishing net. It'll rot the cords. If you don't clean the net, sooner or later that rope's going to dry rot and it's going to break. And things will happen in your ministry if you don't keep up a regular maintenance and take care of the nets. There has to be time for preparation. You just can't fish all the time. And it'll frighten the fish. You know, a dirty net will frighten the fish away. You can't drag a net through the water with algae all over it and other fish parts. They're going to go, I'm going that way. Because they'll see the net. You know, and I don't want people to leave our ministries because we're not preparing right. We're not prepared in our ministry. And by the way, a clean life should be something that they see. A clean life. We're different. You ought to just mark it down. We're different. We're Christians. We ought to be like Jesus. You ought to clean your own personal nets too. Not just like a fishing boat needs to keep its nets clean. And that's what they were doing, was washing their nets. But even our personal nets. You know, you need to do some mending. Like in Mark chapter 1 and verse 19, it talks about they were mending the nets. Not just washing them, but you got to mend the nets. So the rope's back together. So there's no big holes in them. But you ought to start with your personal work, personal walk with God. There ought to be a sense of personal holiness. That's a net that we all need to mend and wash and keep clean. That old personal holiness in our lives. How about in your family, in your home life, with your kids, and your wife, and your husband? That's a net that constantly needs maintenance. It needs to be cleaned. It needs to be mended. If it's not right, it's going to start to stink. It's going to start to rot. Husbands to wives, love them like Christ loved the church. Wives to husbands, submit unto them as unto the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord because it's right. We need to do that. And then your personal ministry. Whatever you do for God, you need to do it the best you can. Don't let your ministry fail because of you're not preparing. Sometimes those things may happen, but not because we're doing something wrong. Like you say, sometimes we can get discouraged because where are the numbers? And we've all been there. If you've ever had a ministry and there's not as many people there as you think should be there, you start to get discouraged. I'll tell you, better get with God. And make sure all your nets are clean. Everything okay with me, Lord? I'm preparing. All right, I'm just going to keep going on then. Because I'm ready to fish, Lord, and I've taken the time to prepare for it. Work hard and put the time in. You got to keep up the routine maintenance. You know, he saw ships there, but there was no fishermen. And you think, where are these guys? Get out there and fish. First, you got to clean your nets. First, you got to prepare to go fishing. You better be cleaning your nets, though. If you're not in the boat, you better be doing something to prepare for the work of God. The time spent in Sunday school, RU, and the teens, there should be hours of preparation for that. You want to get what you put into it. That's what you'll get out of it. You want to look at things a half hour before you come here for Sunday school? Believe me, the kids are going to know. You didn't spend any time preparing. The teens will know if you didn't take any time to say, Lord, what can I tell them? Give me something out of your word. Pray about it. Pray for the kids in the class. They'll know, and God knows. Prepare. Get Jesus in your boat. Verse 3 in chapter 5, it says, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. You know, Jesus just has to be in command of our ministry, any ministry. Jesus needs to be in our boat. I want him in my boat. And I hope you want him in your boat, your ministry. The purpose of the ministry is to glorify Jesus Christ. Everything we do should say, look how good he is. Look how great he is. Look how wonderful he is. Jesus Christ is Lord. Look how what he's doing in our midst, in our ministry. He's wonderful. Everything that we do. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Kathy said, you better learn how to say that when you get up there. Well, I still haven't learned how to say it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I hope it's 2nd. Yeah. And look at verse 11. Wherefore, also we pray always for you, 2 Thessalonians 1:11, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. You see, there's a calling. And fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. You see, it doesn't stop there. The thought continues. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. And ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ should get glory in the creche. He should. Jesus Christ should get glory at the tea table over there. Jesus Christ should get glory when women clean someone's home. Whatever you do for Jesus Christ, we should make him look good. How about 1 Peter chapter 4? 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 11. Well, we need to get Jesus in the boat. If any man speak, 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Talking about this book. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. Why? That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. How are you going to glorify him? This book. And according to the ability which he gave you. There's no other way to glorify God. None. No other way. God's focus is on bringing light to people. And if we're not bringing light to them and helping them in that way, then we're not glorifying him. Look in Matthew chapter 13. You all know the parable of the sower. I'm not going to read that. But in Matthew chapter 13, I found it very interesting that in verse 2, Matthew 13 verse 2, it says, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship. He got into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. You know, he was so pressed by the people, that he had to get into a boat and move out from the shore. They wouldn't get in the water, but his voice would carry out over that beach there. And he could teach the thousands of people by just getting into the boat, and they listened, and his voice carried over that beach. But why did he do it? To teach them. He goes on to teach the parable of the sower. That's what we need. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." My people aren't just not doing well today. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you're not in this book, you're destroyed because of your lack of knowledge how to live the Christian life. Spend some time with him. You know, back in Luke chapter 5, you know, it says there, he got in the boat with Simon's boat. Simon's, put your name there. He got in the Lily's boat. He got in the Mona's boat. Wouldn't you be happy if Jesus got into your boat? Yeah. Because you could spend some time with just Jesus. Just you two. I'm surprised Peter didn't just keep rowing him away and take him out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Because he just wanted him for himself. How much personal time do you spend with God? Just you and him. In your boat. That's why he said, thrust out a little from the others. And Peter must have said, he's just with me. It's just me and him, and I get to be right next to him while he preaches. You can spend time with Jesus like that every day. He chose Simon's boat. Why? Because he knows what you need. He knew Simon needed him. He knows what you need too. And if you'll seek after him, he'll give you exactly what you need. Not what you want, but what you need. Him. I mean, Jesus is the captain. If we could get him to put his big hands on our little hands of the wheel and show us how to set the course, the right course for our ministry, and just do it his way. Jesus, take the wheel. Put your hands on my ministry. Whatever I'm doing for you, and you guide the ship. I just want to be in the boat with you. You see? He's in charge. He's the captain. How about doing things his way? Look at verse 4 and 5 in Luke chapter 5. Verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draw. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night." What's the matter with the Lord? Doesn't he see this? "And I've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." I like that. "Nevertheless, though, at thy word." You did tell me to do something. I'm going to do it. But the problem is, he didn't fully obey. Sometimes we think we're smarter than God. Sometimes it's not a matter of whether we think we're obeying, we just don't fully obey God. Did Jesus tell him to let down the net or nets? He said to let down the nets. How many did Peter let down? One net. All right, Lord. Apparently you didn't know that we just toiled all night and caught nothing. But nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. He didn't say to let down the net. Jesus was going to give him a draught, a fish. And he only let down one net. He was told to let down the nets. He would have gotten more. And he wouldn't have lost any. You know, when you go Saturday soul winning, you can knock on doors. I've been doing it ever since I've been saved. I've been knocking on doors. I got out there and somebody else did the talking, obviously. I wasn't able to talk. But you could count on one hand probably the amount of people that actually got saved at a door. I mean, really, do you want people getting saved at their door? They've never seen you before in their life. First time they heard the gospel and you wonder. But you just keep doing it. You just keep going. "I've toiled all this time, Lord, at the doors and nothing. No fish." We do the same thing. What's the point? What is our point? We have no point. We're just complaining that we've been doing this and nothing's happening. Yes, it is. There's people here because we knocked on doors. We're just doing what we're supposed to do. We get visitors to come in. Just because we've been faithful in a few things, God gives us other things, bigger things, and great blessings. Great blessings. Fully obey God. Jesus knows the work that you do. You should serve by faith, not personal knowledge and experience. That goes along with it, but we need to serve by faith. Keep the Bible way and the Bible message. Follow Jesus, not man and not the world. All right? Just keep our eyes on the Lord. And then you can launch out into greater dependence upon God. He said, launch out into the deep. We're not going to catch anything here in 3 foot of water, Peter. Let's get out into the deep where the fish are. You know, how many sinners really come into church service? Yeah, we get a few and we can preach to them, tell them that Jesus loves them and that he's the only way of salvation. But they're all out there. They're not in church. You weren't in church when you were unsaved. I didn't want to have nothing to do with church. Somebody had to come to me and tell me and spend time with me and pray over me. You see? Launch out into the deep. And greater dependence upon God. And let's see some people go out and win some people to Jesus Christ. You know, because hard work pays off. Turn to John 21. You know, back there in Luke, you know, in verse 6 it says their net break. Didn't it? Their net broke. Because they didn't let down their nets. They let down one net. And the net broke. And they lost some fish. We don't want to lose any fish. In John chapter 21, and in verse 3, it says this, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. He's going fishing again. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I wonder if this guy is really supposed to be a fisherman, because he doesn't catch any fish. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. You know, if you're out in a boat, and you throw the net on the left side of the boat, and you toil and work, and you've got nothing. You have any fish? Nothing. Nothing. We have no fish in the boat. Well, just throw the net over here on the right side of the boat. I mean, the ocean, it's a big sea. You know what I mean, Leo? If you throw it here, do you think throwing it here you're going to get fish? No. But when you listen to Jesus, what happens? You get fish. And you get a big draw of fish. In fact, they caught 153 in that net that day. I'm just saying hard work pays off when it's done in the power of God. You can serve, work. But until you do it for Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing's going to happen. And whatever does happen won't be to glorify Him. It'll be to glorify yourself. We can have greater success. Back in Luke chapter 5, verse 6 says this, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. We can have greater success. We can have greater success if we just listen to Jesus Christ. Obedience always brings blessings. Would you turn with me to Galatians chapter 6? Galatians chapter 6. You know, we use this verse a lot to tell people that they need to be careful of what sin they're sowing in their life. But you can also sow to the Spirit and reap great blessings. Galatians 6, and in verse 7 it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There is going to be blessings if you sow to the Spirit, if you do it God's way. The same way if you want to sin and you want to sow to your flesh, be not deceived, God will not be mocked. We will reap what we sow. We don't put orange pits and orange seeds in the ground and expect an apple tree to come up. It doesn't happen. So don't expect blessings in your ministry when you're living in sin and harboring sin in your heart. It's not going to happen. But if you do sow to the Spirit, you will reap blessings. It's just as clear for the other side of that formula, you see? Obedience always honors God. It always honors God when you obey Him. We just need to learn to obey. If we were to fully, completely, wholly obey God, there would be such joy and victory and peace in our life like we may never know. You may not have peace in your heart today because you're not obeying God. You're doing what you want to do. not obeying God will result in lost souls. You remember, we talked about those in back in Luke chapter 5, the net broke and they lost some fish. In John chapter 21, you don't really have to turn there. They had 153 fish in that draw. And they had to drag that net all the way up to where the coals were burning on the beach where Jesus was cooking the fish in the bread for them. They hauled that all the way up and they didn't lose one fish. Not one. The net didn't break because they did it Jesus' way. They didn't lose any. Remember that others are affected by our disobedience. You look back in Luke chapter 5 there. Look what it says. Luke chapter 5 and verse 9. Peter falls down at the knees of Jesus. He says, I'm a sinful man. For he was astonished. Look at all these fish. And all that were with him. They lacked faith. At the draw of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John and all the others. They saw. You see, they saw Peter's lack of faith. They all had that lack of faith. Now, our own disobedience and our own lack of faith affects others. When you miss a meeting for no good reason, it affects others. Because I don't know about all of you, but I know where everybody kind of sits. And I just kind of know all the faces that I see every Sunday. And I know that there's some missing. And I hope they're sick, believe it or not. I hope they're sick. Because I wouldn't want them not to be here for any other reason. I miss them. I'm encouraged when I see people here in the meeting. If you refuse to serve in a ministry, that affects others. How do you think it makes those kids feel that come out soul winning, they're with their dad? And they're out there soul winning, knocking on the door, and dad's right there with them. They must feel like $1 million. You know? That must be great to see dad's out of your soul winning. I'm with him. People are affected also by our disobedience. Let me just say this. It's much easier to do what God gives you to do, no matter how hard it is, than to face the responsibility and the consequences of not doing it. We're not getting away with anything. Someday it'll all be shouted on the housetops, and we'll all, it says, be naked before him with whom we have to do. He knows it all. He knows everything in your heart. He knows everything. It's all marked down. Why not just put the hard work in now and put the time in now and work for the Lord? And you won't have to face the responsibility and the consequences later. We could have greater success if we just fully obey God. Teamwork. Verse 7 back in Luke it says, and they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. I mean, there was a lot of fish. And they needed some help. Don't you think there's some help needed in ministries in this church? People, we just need help. Nobody's the big behalf around here. We all need to work together in these ministries. Tony needs help in RU. I mean, I guess even Leo could use a hand now and then. I could use a hand in the Sunday school. I'm sure the creche could use more people. Just wherever God puts you. I don't like to tell people, you need to do that. Let God show you what to do. But when God shows you, you better do it. Because God's pointing you to a place of service. Here, think about this. A net is a bunch of holes, isn't it? It's just a bunch of holes. What are holes? They're nothings. We're a bunch of nothings. All right? Leo, you and I are the biggest nothings in here. We're just a big bunch of nothings. But we're a bunch of nothings sewn together to catch fish. You know, if the nothings weren't sewn together, the fish would never go near a net. It has to have some nothings in there. Has to have a place to try. He thinks he can swim through, and he gets caught, and we caught a fish. But that's the truth, isn't it? But when we all work together, a bunch of nothings can make up a net to catch some fish. Let me tell you something. There's going to be people around the throne of God because a bunch of nothings decided they would knit themselves together like a net and catch some people. Catch some souls that are going to be at the throne that day. Praise the Lord. God would use a bunch of nothings. You ought to be thankful for the help that you received. Nehemiah 4:6 said they all worked together on that wall. How did they build a wall in 52 days? They all worked together. They had the sword and the trowel. They were protecting and they were working. Shame on you if you're not working. Shame on you if you're not serving God in some ministry in this church. For God. Just for the Lord. Soul winning with other churches. Going to help people. That's working together, you see. Just striving together. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. We're almost through here. Philippians chapter 1. And in verse 27, it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Philippians 1:27, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, striving together in the power of God, just trying to get some blessings from the Lord. And He will. He will bless us if we just work together. And finally, we need to get right. Back in Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, verse 8, it says, and Simon Peter saw, he was astonished at it. He fell down at Jesus' knees and saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I have no faith, Lord. I didn't completely obey you. I had no faith. I tried to tell you what to do. And he was astonished at all that were with him and at the draught of the fishes which had taken. Verse 10, and so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. When was the last time that you acknowledged just how sinful you are? When was the last time you got on your knees and said, Lord, take a good look into my heart. Because I really do know the sin of my heart. And I know you know. Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I'm going to take you to a portion of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 6. I think all we'll really have to do is just read it. Isaiah chapter 6. When's the last time you got a glimpse of Jesus Christ? When's the last time you got a good vision of Jesus Christ in your heart, in your mind's eye, of the holiness of God? When's the last time you saw Him high and lifted up by your bedside there as you prayed on your knees and you got a good glimpse of Jesus Christ? And you said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. In Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood a seraphims, which one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go, tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Have you ever come to the place where you're so broken before God, you just say, Lord, woe is me. I'm undone. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, I'm a sinner. I just need you to cleanse me. It's just you and him. Nobody else knows. Of course, when we leave the room and we have sin all over us, everybody does know. But if we would get purged and clean, and then when God says, is there anybody that'll go for me? You have no problem saying, here am I. Send me. You see, they forsook all to follow him. You ought to be willing to trust and just depend upon God. Constant doubt of God is sinful. Peter doubted God. And he just gave him a little patronizing statement like, we've toiled all night, but nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the net. If he'd have let down the nets, he wouldn't have lost any fish. But he wasn't fully dependent upon God. Those around you will see your faith or your lack of in your ministry. It's a responsibility for the man of God or the woman of the Lord who's in a ministry and leading that thing to really trust the Lord. Because others are looking to the person who's leading that ministry. Well, you better get alone with God like Isaiah did. And he saw high and lifted up and he said, I need to get right. Jesus always teaches us lessons for a greater purpose. That whole lesson there in Luke chapter 5 was to tell them, someday you're going to catch men. That's what I want you to do. I want you to catch men. Souls. Finally, he said, follow him. We're to follow him. They forsook all and they followed him. Look at verse 27 and 28 in Luke chapter 5. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, that's Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. Those disciples left everything, left home and family, and just followed Jesus. You know why? Because they just trusted him. They believed in him, and they followed him. And that's what we need to do. If we're going to do things God's ways, preaching is going to have to be the primary thing around here. And in your ministry, I don't care if you're in the creche, preach to them little ones. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Noah and the ark. Sing songs with them. But preach to them. Preparation is vital. You're going to have to spend time, not just a few minutes on Saturday night, preparing for Sunday school. Doesn't work. Those kids will see through that in a minute. Get Jesus in your boat. Get Jesus in your ministry. Make sure he's there. He's got his hands on the wheel. Do things his way. Not the way you think. Peter was a fisherman, but if you just listened to Jesus, he wouldn't have lost any fish. We're not trying anything new under the sun here, okay? We're not trying anything new. We're just doing it Jesus' way. Greater success through obedience. Greater success through obedience. Teamwork. Let's work together. Let's all just work together. Bunch of nothings. Sewn together, catch fish. And then get right and follow Jesus Christ. So the challenge really is, what will you get right with God? Will you get right with God and serve him and do it his way, the Bible way? What do you have to get rid of in your life or add to your life to better serve the Lord? Because he said, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Let's pray.